And I am live. What's up? How is everybody? Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Late in the day, I believe 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday afternoon. It is, what is it, April? Early April? Yeah, April 7th. Who knew? Talking Packers, 365, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's what we do here. Even in the middle of a global pandemic, it doesn't matter. People want to talk some Packers, take their minds off of it. Thank you so much to all of those of you who joined us a little bit ago for trivia. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of new faces showed up and a lot of old faces too. It's gaining a little steam, I think. If you haven't checked it out yet, please, I encourage you to do so. It's a great activity, something to take your mind off of things. It's a lot of fun. No huge prizes, just bragging rights and chilling with your fellow Packers fans, much like we do here. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Big B, what's up? Ryan, how are you doing? Hey, Aaron, how are you? Norman, I'm hanging in there. Hanging in there. Finally, Denzel Mims is being downhyped. Yeah, I saw a little bit of pushback on Mims today. I had a friend of mine actually DM me today and talking shit about Mims. Hey, man, I'd be fine if the Packers took him at 30. Totally fine. Will he get there? We'll see. It's a possibility. Love to you and your girls, Aaron. Matt, thank you very much. Right back at you, buddy. Hello, Aaron. Hey, bud. How are you? Finally catching a live one. Yeah, Jason. It's hard for me to do these when my girls are here. Obviously, they have now left for the evening. I've had them for the last 5 days, so the time will fluctuate. From day to day, when childcare and whatnot, life comes into play. And of course, obviously, we've got trivia going on every night now. So the timing will change a little bit. What do you hope to see on Gooch shelf on his webcam during the draft? Well, I keep seeing people talk about seeing the GMs. I don't think we're going to see the GMs. I don't think we're going to see anybody from the Packers other than maybe the occasional shot of a barren, desolate Lambeau Field from the outside. I don't know how much access we're going to get to decision makers. I know the league will undoubtedly want some kind of representation for whatever kind of broadcast they're doing. And that's obviously up to PR, et cetera. Gutekunst has obviously been a lot better and more open in regards to his relationship with the media, giving time to the media than Ted Thompson ever was. But yeah, I don't know. Gutekunst has talked, and they certainly have made the guys available throughout draft weekend in the past. But I do wonder if that will be curtailed, so to speak, for the draft weekend. And I do think those are the kinds of things, the plans that they are undoubtedly working on as we speak throughout these next couple weeks as we lead up to the draft. But as far as what I want to see on Gutekunst's shelf, I don't really care about his room where he's drafting what's on his shelf. I want to see the beer fridge. That is the A number one thing. The beer fridge he spoke about 2 years ago. I want a live cam. If the Packers are smart, and I know it's a reach, but if the Packers are smart, they will have a live beer fridge cam that they can throw to at any point. Hell, just keep it up. Just talk to Corey and Live X. We'll do it for free. We'll come in, we'll install it. I don't know how we do that in this day and age of social distancing, but we'll figure it out. We'll send it to him and we'll walk him through it remotely. There you go. I mean, we need a 24/7 live beer fridge cam in our lives during the draft. This shouldn't be tough. Ooh, this is an exchange. Ayuk is the next Greg Jennings. Ayuk is better than Jennings, I think. Ooh, woo. I don't know. I think of pretty different players, aren't they? Jennings was a technician. I don't know. I think the Rook would be much better with the ball in his hands after the catch. Very much a weapon. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see them as very similar. If somehow someone like Love or Tua falls to the Packers, do you see them pulling the trigger? I mean, obviously, the only person who knows the answer to that question is Brian Gutekunst. It really depends on how he evaluates not only the idea of taking a quarterback. He has said he is open to it, and I believe him, but what he thinks of that prospect and the value in getting a hold of somebody who he would have to think would most likely be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, you know, who would not play for the foreseeable future. There's a lot that goes into it. I would, my guess is no, but again, it would be very dependent on his individual evaluation of the quarterback. But yeah, my hunch would be no. Maybe on Tua. I really doubt it on Love. The Packers had a video meeting with Jordan Love. They did indeed. I saw that reported. I would suspect they've had a video meeting with a lot of people. I do think Jordan Love's people have let that information out to try and, you know, get as much interest in their client as possible, which makes sense. He's a quarterback, and they probably think and or know that his best chance to go in the first round is there late in the first round. And if teams know the Packers are talking to him, maybe that compels someone to jump up into the last part of the first round, maybe even with the Packers, and ask them if they want to drop back to get him because they want the fifth-year option, et cetera. Because, look, I don't think Love – I wouldn't take Love in the first round. That's just me. But that fifth-year option is incredibly valuable for teams to have that extra year of control. And you have to think, you know, with the way quarterbacks have been – I won't say overvalued because they are insanely important, obviously, but it does seem that every year we have a quarterback or two that goes in the first round that you really didn't think was worth that selection, and that often plays out during their career. Hell, sometimes teams trade up one spot in the top five to take a guy like that, say like a Mitch Trubisky, who had no business going in the first round. But yeah, so I do think they'll get calls about it. And I do think, like I said, their Love's people put that out there purposely, without question. Oh, John Ryan, thanks for participating in the chat, and I'll be happy never to see you again.
Bye-bye.
How was my podcast with Jace? It was good, Norman. It's up on the Patreon account, and if you're a Patreon member, it is available for you right now. It was pretty short. It was a short, quick chat, but he covered a lot of great stuff. He's a really cool guy, a lot of fun. We talked about, you know, his rookie year, obviously, the injuries, his time not being able to practice. I asked him what he said to Jadeveon Clowney when Clowney got the penalty, which was great. I highly recommend checking that out. And then I talked about, you know, what he's doing going forward, his time in this weird shutdown of the world, so to speak, how he's working out, how he's keeping on top of things. And then, you know, his work with Aaron Rodgers and company heading into year two and how important that time is for his development, not only with Rodgers, but in the offense heading into, you got to think is, you know, an incredibly important year for him to come to the fore, so to speak, in the Packers offense. Great kid. A lot of really great candid stuff from him. I hope you guys will check it out. And if you're not a Patreon member, it's a perfect time to jump on board. You not only get my interview with Jace, but you get all of our videos, all of our podcasts, everything in one place. It's the place to be if you want to support Cheesehead TV. Go get quarterback Trey Lance 2021. I think that's a pretty good chance they look at somebody next year if they don't draft somebody this year. Do you have a fundamental issue with Gutekunst's wide receiver, quote, prototype? I feel every team should have a one Gute receiver, but I don't love a whole room full of them. Do I have a fundamental issue with it? No, I don't, Tom. And look, he is just carrying on the tradition that started with Ron Wolf. I mean, he's the one who set the prototype, so to speak. You know, I understand what you're saying, and I very much agree that I would like to see a different type, more of a slasher. You know, they kind of approached it with Randall Cobb, but not really, but a little bit more diminutive athlete slash jitterbug, whatever phrasing you want to use, whatever type of description you want to use. I think everybody knows, you know, the idea of a guy who you give him the ball in space and he can make a guy miss and turn a 3-yard gain into an 8-yard gain. You know, the Packers have generally not favored that type. They have always liked bigger, stronger guys that can go over the middle, do dirty work, do things, you know, when the weather turns, they're able to block, they're able to, out muscle defensive backs, etc. And look, Do I, again, I would love a different type of receiver in the room, as you say, but I can't quibble with the fundamental idea of being all in on that type of receiver in Green Bay when it has meant winning a lot of football games. They have won a bunch with that prototype. So, you know, and during Ted Thompson's years especially, he did such an amazing job of continuously providing Mike McCarthy with incredible talents at that position. Now, obviously, Gutekunst has a lot of work to do in that regard. But, yeah, I don't have an issue with it at all. We have no slot wide receiver. Zach, now there I agree. And that's the kind of guy I'm talking about. Obviously, they tried Geronimo Allison last year. I never understood that, you know, when word surfaced last spring that they were working there, him there. I thought if anybody out of that group should have been working in the slot, obviously other than Davante Adams, who can work anywhere, but it should have been Kumerow. But even he's not perfectly suited for that role. I very much agree. And I thought that's why they would maybe look at Taylor Gabriel. But again, that's not their type of guy. Just rewatched Packers versus Favre in 2010. Nick Collins' pick was insane. Is that the Sunday night game in Lambeau? But was it a Nick Collins pick? I can't remember that. I remember the Desmond Bishop pick. What happens to NFL employees and players' salaries if there is no season? Well, there will be lawyers. You got to think there'll be obvious negotiations between the league and the NFLPA, especially on the player side, obviously. As for the NFL employees, man, that's a headache. But I got to think the owners at some point would step up. At least most of the teams, I'm not going to say every owner, but most of them would pay the salaries outright. But hopefully we're a long way away from needing those teams to make that kind of decision. Javier, thanks for the super chat. Have you watched Grossi's video about Jalen Reagor being the next Randall Cobb? What do you think? I have not watched his video. I don't think that's a terrible comparison. I'm not, again, Cobb was a very different type for the Packers, and I do think if they went that route, it would be against type, but they did take Cobb, right? Now, obviously, that was Ted, and Gutekunst is a different guy, but yeah, I can't dismiss it out of hand, and I do think that he could definitely step in and offer something to the offense in his rookie year. But yeah, again, I do think that would be an against type pick if they were to select him. How on earth is the NFL going to broadcast the draft? That's a good question, Norman, and I have no doubt that they are working on that as we speak. Got to think it's going to be some kind of web-based broadcast. Now, obviously, the broadcast partners are going to be in on it. They will undoubtedly have a television component, but most of the dirty work will be done by the web and or remote live look-ins, live feeds that, whether it's Daniel Jeremiah, Rich Eisen, Mel Kiper, et cetera, those guys will be in their homes and they'll be connected to Bristol or LA for the NFL network. And it'll kind of be, you know, what we've done, say, with Packer transplants when I'm in New York and Corey's in Green Bay. It's not going to be very smooth, but it will be, it'll be something. And I don't say it's smooth because they have the technical expertise and wherewithal to pull it off technically. I mean, hell, we have that at LiveX with Cheesehead TV. But the non-smoothness will be the sheer number of participants being part of the broadcast, whether you've got Daniel Jeremiah, like I said, Rich Eisen, all in different locations, all the reporters on the ground in their various homes. Yeah. You know, and then someone, a director somewhere is going to be directing that traffic, which is even more than usual. Yeah. It's going to be a feat. There's no doubt about it. Have you done much traveling? I have found Packers fans everywhere I have gone in the world. Tom, I've done a bit of traveling. I haven't done a ton. I'm not one of those people that just loves to travel. I obviously travel a bunch when I was on the beat to all the games. I've traveled to Europe, you know, the usual destinations, London, etc. But haven't done a lot of world traveling. But I know lots of people who have. My sister has done a lot of world traveling, and she, much like yourself, has run into Packers fans everywhere. And hell, you don't have to look much further than Aaron Rodgers. talking about his world travels and bumping into Packers fans everywhere he goes. My favorite story that he told recently, last offseason, was about being in France and finding a Packers bar in Paris and walking in and basically freaking everyone out because it was Aaron Rodgers in a Packers bar in France. That's pretty great. Let's see. Hack the Vikings draft picks. A call to order. Matt, I agree. I put out the call yesterday. Look, man, I wanted people to hack the horn during the Monday night game. And Packers fans at least showed up and made the Go Pack Go chant, which was great. Because Cheesehead TV had offered $10,000 for anyone who could hack the horn and have it say Go Pack Go instead. Nobody took us up on that challenge. But with the all virtual draft and all the teams having to work remotely, the opportunity exists again. We can't offer $10,000 this time, but the opportunity exists again to go down as a legend if you hack the Vikings draft. Make them take a punter in the third round. That's all we ask. I mean, who knows? If Mike Sherman was operating, you wouldn't even know they were hacked, but you know, we'll see what happens. You know, this is always a popular refrain. There's no need to hack the Vikings picks. No doubt they'll get up. Yeah, sure. Fair point. I mean, either that or not get it in at all, as they've done twice already without virtual drafting. Michael Pittman Jr. or bust. It's fun. I've seen him linked to, I mean, at least Packers fans in the last like week, more so than I did, you know, in the months leading up to draft season, so to speak. But he'd be exciting. There is zero question about it. I'm on board with that. Realistically, how many more playmakers on offense do we need for Rodgers to be the, quote, bad man again? We have two already in 17 and 33. Zeke, I think they need one more, honestly. Obviously, they want to up the entire talent level, the depth, so to speak, especially at wide receiver. But they're right there. And as you say, he's got 17. He's got 33. They need one more legitimate weapon, what Jimmy Graham should have been and what they probably hoped he would be. Now, I do think Jace is going to come on, and I do think as the year goes on, he will become more and more of a threat. But yeah, it would be great to get some kind of, you know, home run weapon for Rodgers. And look, to get him back to being a bad man, that guy is gone. I keep telling Packers fans, and this isn't a shot at you, but Packers fans who keep thinking, oh, he's going to go back to, say, the run the table version of Aaron Rodgers in 2016, not going to happen. He is not that guy anymore. That is the whole idea of bringing in Matt LaFleur in this offense, is so he doesn't have to be. Run the football, work play action, give him some delineated, quote, easy reads, and move the football and score some points. That's what they need out of Aaron Rodgers. They don't need breaking the pocket, breaking contain, you know, throwing 50-yard lasers. They don't need that. Now, will he make those plays from time to time? Undoubtedly. He's still got it in him. There's no doubt about that. But they don't need him to be Superman. They need him to be efficient, move the football, score points, and they can do that. And if they get one more weapon, oh yeah, they're gonna do that 100%. I'd love to see Thaddeus Moss in Green Bay, if for nothing else to piss off the Vikings fans. I mean, there's a couple guys, right? There's Thaddeus Moss and there's Antoine Winfield Jr. I can't believe the guy. I mean, Christian McCaffrey was the start of it all, right? I mean, the idea of sons of guys you grew up watching are now in the league. Oh my God, so depressing. But yeah, Thaddeus Moss would be great. Antoine Winfield Jr. would be great. I'm all in on sons of former Vikings being on the Packers, just to rub some salt in the wounds. I'm all in on that. What was the feeling leading up to the 2005 draft? Was there as much conversation about an heir apparent as there is now? That's a really good question, Tom. There was not this idea that they were going to draft a quarterback heading into the draft. I know that. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers was in the conversation for the first overall pick, along with Alex Smith. So at least, you know, locally, Green Bay / Packers fans, most people weren't even thinking about that idea. Now, that said, Favre had been talking retirement. Now, some of it was media-driven because they kept asking him about it, but some of it was him continually bringing it up, unprompted. So there was certainly the idea that, okay, we're on the back end of Favre's career, and he's not going to be here forever. But most of the anticipation and or feeling heading into the draft that year was about getting Favre another weapon, as we were just talking about, to make that final push to get him another Super Bowl. I mean, that people were consumed with it. Mike Sherman was consumed with it. And that was the thinking. That was the feeling around the team, around the franchise. Got to get back to the Super Bowl. And, you know, not only to win one because it's amazing to win a Super Bowl, but to get Favre back there and get him another Super Bowl ring. That was very, like, the idea of drafting a quarterback was way out there. No, heading into that weekend, nobody was thinking about it other than Ted Thompson, because he went back and watched Aaron Rodgers the week before because he thought, maybe he falls. Thank God he did. We all owe Ted big time. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers with me, 188 of you on an April evening. Thanks so much for watching. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night.